If you have your Bibles tonight, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of John. Excuse me. I would like to read from John chapter 8. Everyone, please look in your Bibles at John chapter 8. I would like to begin reading with the 25th verse and read through verse 32. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 25 and reading through verse 32. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come together in Thy house. Thank You for the physical health that we have to be able to be here. Thank You for the freedom that we have to be able to assemble together without fear of physical persecution. And we thank You, Lord, for the desire that Thou hast put in our hearts that we love Thee. As we began singing tonight, we love Thee because Thou hast first loved us. We thank You, Lord, for blessing us to be able to know the one true and living God, and to know that Thou art not only our God, but that Thou art our Heavenly Father, that we've been adopted into the family of God, and we've been born into the family of God. And we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be a part of the family of God, to have brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we live here in this world, though we are pilgrims and strangers in the earth, we're thankful that we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are also pilgrims and strangers, and we have great fellowship one with another. And Lord, we pray that Thou would help us all. We know that there are many who need great help this night. There are those who are sick and afflicted, and we pray that Thou, as the great physician, would touch their bodies. We especially, Lord, beg You to bless Sister Lana Penland. We know that You're able to touch and heal and lift her up, and we beg You, in the name of Jesus Christ, to bless her, strengthen her, and help the doctors guide and direct them in every decision that they make. We beg You to bless her family, bless her parents and grandparents and her great-grandparents and all the members of her family to feel the comfort of the Holy Spirit and to know that she is in Your hands and that You do all things well. We continue to beg You to bless Sister Grace Bacon and the loss of her mother and all the others who have lost loved ones. We pray that You would bless each and every one as Thou alone art able to do. And we pray that You would help us to do what we can to help other people. Help us, Lord, that we might realize that we've been called by Thee and sent forth by Thee to serve Thy people. Help us, Lord, to be faithful servants. Help us to honor Thee and glorify Thee with our lives. Help us to be a blessing in the lives of other people. Lord, we pray that You would bless those who are with child. We know that You're the one that begins life and You produce that life. And we ask You in a special way to bless those that are on our prayer list that are with child. We pray that You would be with them and bless the unborn babies, that You would bless them to develop and grow and to be strong and to be healthy. Pray that You would bless all the parents to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, all these parents, they need special help from Thee. They need wisdom. They need understanding. They need strength. They need Your grace to be able to bring up their children in the right way. And we pray that You would help them as they teach their children the Word of God, and as they live before their children, may they be a great example to their children. And again, we pray that You would help this church body, that we might be as a city that's set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. Help us that we might be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Help us to be what we ought to be every day of our lives. Bless us now as we try to study Thy holy word. May Thy word be as seed sown in fertile ground. May it bring forth fruit to perfection in each of our lives. We beg in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from John chapter 8, beginning in verse 25 and reading through verse 32. The Word of God says, "Then said they unto Him, Who art Thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I had said, that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but He that sent me is true." And this morning we started trying to study about us being ambassadors for Christ, and that Jesus Himself was sent by the Father. He was sent into this world by the Father. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Jesus was sent by the Father. And again now, he's speaking that truth when he says in verse 26, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28 says, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me, there he's again now talking about the Father sending him. That's what I want you to keep thinking about. He says in verse 29, and he that sent me is with me. Isn't that a marvelous thing? Can't you just imagine those people looking at Jesus, and he's standing there, and they don't see anybody else with him. And he says, he that sent me is with me. And they couldn't see the Father with him, but he keeps talking about somebody that sent him. And now he says, now he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I want to just stop there. That's really what I want us to look at. I'm not going to read the rest of that passage of Scripture, but I want you to think about verse 29, where Jesus says, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And then he explains why. He says, for I do always those things that please him. Now, Jesus always had the Father with him. And that's what he's saying here. He says, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. And then he explains the reason the Father hath not left me alone. He says, for I do always those things that please him. And there's a direct connection here between pleasing God and having God with us. If we want to have God with us, and I think all of us want that, we want the Father to be with us. We want to be able to say, like Jesus said right here, he that sent me, we're ambassadors for Christ, and we want to say, now he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him. Now Jesus did that. There's never been anybody else that can honestly, truthfully say, I do always those things that please him. And that's the reason that the Father was always with him, because he always did those things that pleased the Father. So I want us to first tonight, I want us to think about the fact that Jesus pleased the Father, and because he pleased the Father was always with him. Second thing I want us to consider is that we can please God in our lives. It's important for us to understand and remember and know that we can please God. And then the third thing is that if we do please God, the Father will be with us. And we need to pray that God will help us to be able to feel His presence with us. You know, we want to feel God's presence in His house, don't we? We've wasted our time if we don't feel the presence of God with us. All of our attempts to worship God, you know, you can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you can have good fellowship with God's people, but if God is not there, if you don't feel God's presence there, it's not really worshiping God. It's when you feel the presence of God. I love you, and you love me, and we love each other, and we have good fellowship with each other, but the most important one to be in God's house is God Himself. It's the Father's house. It's His house. And Jesus makes this statement. He says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, what does that tell us? Does it please God for us to gather in His name? How do I know it pleases God for us to gather in His name? Well, first of all, because God's Word teaches us to gather in His name. But He says, Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's what I want to connect together, is that God will be with us when we please God. I want to reread now verse 29, then I want us to start looking at Jesus pleasing God. Verse 29 says, "And he that sent me is with me." I just find great peace and joy in those words. I think it enabled Jesus to be bold in everything he did. I think that when people feel that God is with them, there's boldness in that feeling that God is with them. I think the Apostle Paul, in all of his preaching that he did and everywhere he went, he had great boldness. When he wrote to the young preacher Timothy, he says, "Now Demas hath forsaken me." And he talked about all these other men who had forsaken him, but he says, "But the Lord is with me." See? And it doesn't matter if anyone else is with you or stands with you. It doesn't matter if you stand alone, if you're doing what God's telling you to do. The Father will be with you, and that's all you need with you is to have the Father with you. Every day that you live, everywhere you go, you need the Father with you. And the Father will be with you if what you are doing pleases the Lord. So he says here in verse 29, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone." And then he says, "For," that means because, "I do always those things that please him." Did Jesus please the Father in every single thing he ever did in his life? Wasn't there one time that he didn't please the Father? Wasn't there one time that he didn't please the Father? Well, I'm thankful I can't lead you down a wrong road. There was never a time that he didn't please the Father. Brethren, don't ever compromise. Do you see how I was trying to kind of lead you and see if I could get you to budge away from the truth? Jesus always pleased the Father. He never failed to please the Father. I want us to go back now, and just for a few minutes, I want us to think about some ways that Jesus pleased the Father. Back up in your Bibles first to Matthew chapter 3. And remember now, he says, that's the reason the Father is with me and the Father will never leave me alone, is because I do always those things that please him. Go back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. This is where Jesus first begins his ministry, in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. Jesus came. Who was the forerunner of Christ? Who was it that was preaching just before Jesus Christ? John the Baptist was preaching, and here comes Jesus. And when Jesus comes up, John the Baptist says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." How did John the Baptist feel? Did John the Baptist feel great, or did he feel little right there? He felt small. He felt insignificant. And Jesus came up to John the Baptist to be baptized of John the Baptist, for John the Baptist to baptize him. And John the Baptist felt unworthy to baptize Jesus Christ. And that's the scene now in Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? How can you expect me?" He's saying, in essence, how can you expect me to baptize you? I need you to baptize me. Listen to Jesus' response in verse 15. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." What's he saying there? Is it a righteous act to be baptized? And he says, "It becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." It was a marvelous thing that Jesus would let John the Baptist baptize him, wasn't it? Why did he do that? Because it fulfilled all righteousness. How is it that anybody would ever submit to water baptism? It's because they believe that God the Father teaches it to be done in His Word, and they want to please somebody. Who is it they want to please? I know some people are baptized to please the preacher, but don't you ever get baptized to please the preacher. It's to please our Father. It's to please Him, no matter what you do. You need to always do it to please the Father. That should be your goal. That should be your objective. That should be your desire every day of your life, is to please the Father. And Jesus' desire, talking about the Son of God and the Son of Man, His desire was to please the Father. He says, "Thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness." Then He suffered Him. That is, John the Baptist suffered or allowed Jesus to come and Him to baptize Jesus. Verse 16, Matthew 3, verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water." By the way, there was no sprinkling that went on here. Water baptism is by immersion. I started to say submersion, and it's that too. It's when you take somebody completely under the water and you bring them up out of the water. And John the Baptist and Jesus Christ went down into the water, and John the Baptist baptized Jesus and brought Him up out of the water. And Jesus, when He was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto Him, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Lord, how many of you have ever felt like you pleased your daddy? How many of you have ever felt like, okay, thank you, Brother Caleb. Brother Caleb raised his hand. I'll tell you, it's a good daddy that lets his child know they're pleased. Did you know that? Some of us daddies don't let our children know enough that we're pleased with what they do. Some of us daddies are so hard that we seldom give praise when they do good. All we do is just give criticism when they do what's bad. And it's important. Children want to hear and know they're pleasing the Father. The marvelous thing about our perfect Father is that we never do that pleases Him, but what He blesses us to feel in our heart, that we have pleased our Father. That the Father is saying in our heart, though we don't hear it with our natural ears, that our Heavenly Father says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I'll make thee rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Have you ever felt close to God? Have you ever felt lifted up by the Father? The only time that you feel that's when you've been doing the will of the Father. That's when the Lord lifts you up and gives you that peace and that joy, is when you're doing the will of the Father. And the Father is saying, "I'm well pleased with what you did." Well pleased. That's what Jesus heard from heaven now. He saw the heavens open. He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon Him. And then He heard the voice of God. There you see the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And you hear the voice of God, the Father, saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So what's the first thing that we looked at is the first way that we've looked at, not the first way that He pleased the Father, but what's the first way that we looked at that Jesus pleased the Father so far tonight? Water baptism. Now, Matthew chapter 4, you know what the next chapter talks about? Matthew chapter 4, where Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And He began to be tempted, and when He was tempted, what did He do every time He was tempted? He resisted the devil. He quoted the Word of God. He used the Word of God as ammunition. What I want to get at is that He submitted to water baptism. That pleased the Father. But also when you go to Matthew chapter 4 and you find Him being tempted of the devil, and every time He's tempted, He resisted the devil. Now, we can resist the devil also. And the devil is going to tempt you. Before tonight is over, most of you will be able to recognize that the devil is tempting you. The devil tempts us, just like the devil tempted Jesus. And before tomorrow is over, you will be tempted time and time again. The devil is tempting God's people. And as he tempts us, it's important that we please the Father, not please ourselves. Not please the flesh, but please the Father. And when I please the Father, you know who I'm going to feel with me? I'm going to feel the Father with me. He says, "He that sent me," what did Jesus say over there in John 8, verse 29? "He that sent me is what? Is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him." All the way through the life of Jesus, every page in the New Testament where you look at the life of Jesus, you know what you'll see? You'll see Jesus pleasing the Father. And you know who was always with Jesus? The Father was always with Jesus all the way. Now, I'm glad the Father was with Jesus, but I need the Father with me. You know what will happen to me if I don't feel God with me? How many of you have ever been depressed, discouraged, or despondent? How many of you have ever wanted to just give up? All right. Half of you raised your hand, the other half just nodded your head. We all get there sometimes, don't we? We get weak and weary and faint in our minds. And when we get weak and weary and faint, the Word of God says, consider the apostle, consider Christ Jesus, consider what He suffered, and when you consider what Jesus went through, it will snap you out of your depression. Because when you look at how you're suffering compared with what Jesus suffered, you'll know you haven't gone through anything. And if you can just feel God with you, what can you say? You know what David said in Psalm 23, verse 4? He said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will, what? Fear no evil, for Thou art with me. What do we need? Who do we need with us? Now, I'm glad when I have you with me, okay? I'm glad when I have brethren to stand with me. Sometimes you're not going to be there, and sometimes I'm not going to be there for you, but I'll tell you who will never leave you nor forsake you, who will always be there if you do the will of the Father will always be with you. The only time I don't feel the Father with me is when I'm not doing the will of the Father. And a lot of times that's the way it is in my life. And I want to try to do better. I want to try to please the Father more. I want the Father to be pleased with me. And I can live in such a way the Father will be pleased with me. The Bible tells us about Enoch. Enoch was a man who, let me just give you three words, and you know what they are. WWG, what did he do? He walked with God. And that's what Enoch did. Enoch was a man who walked with God. Does that please God when the children walk with him, when the children of the Father walk with him? Are there some of these daddies in this church, their children, and I'm talking about little children first, are there some of these little children in the church that just love to walk around with their daddies and stay right beside their daddies, right behind their daddies, and stay with their daddies. Just any time they can be with their daddies, they want to be with their daddy. Well, that's just part of the nature that God has put in His children, is that children want to be with their daddies. Walker, do you like to be with your daddy? You do. Do you like to go fishing with him? You like to go to church with him? You like to do everything with him, don't you? Yeah. It's good to be with our Father. Let me say something to you grown children just a minute. It's good for you to please your parents too. Can you imagine, and I'll just go ahead and warn some of you young parents that have young children, if you're not concerned with honoring and pleasing your parents, I want you to know it's going to come back to haunt you one day. When you harden your heart and you don't try to please your parents and you don't honor your parents, I want you to know that you're one day going to have your heart crushed by you having your children turn their back on you and laugh at you and scorn you. Brethren, it's honoring. Though my children are grown, when I talk to them about something, they listen to what I say. Now that's honoring me. Do y'all understand that? You don't get too old. I still am responsible to honor my mother. My mother's 80-something years old. I'm still her child. As long as she lives, I have to, and I ought to be wanting to honor her because God tells me to honor her. And if she tells me there's something I'm doing that's wrong, I'm going to listen to her. And even though it might not be something God's Word specifically says is wrong, if I honor my mother by trying to do what's right in her sight, my Father's going to honor me in that. Does everybody follow that? Children that want to just, and it breaks my heart. I've seen it. children that don't care what their parents think. Grown children that have godly parents and they don't care what their parents think. You think you know how to raise your children better than your parents knew how to raise, know how to help you raise your children. You got a lot of heartache coming. Just write it down. These old people have a lot more wisdom than you think they do. We better start listening. You know, there are people in other countries that honor their old people much more than we do in America. We're not honoring the elderly like we should. And when I don't honor older people, I am not only dishonoring them, I am dishonoring my God. I am not pleasing God when I don't honor older people. Look in your Bibles. Let's see that. Let me just turn to that. Turn to Colossians in your Bible, please. I want you to see that honoring your parents, honoring your mother and your father, that pleases. It pleases them, but it pleases somebody else. Who does it please? It pleases God. Look in your Bibles, please, at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. And let me just tell some of you young people that are here, I beg you to go to your parents and say, are there some things that you think I need to change in my life? Are there some things that you think I need to do better in my life? Please, if you have any love for God, if you have any love and respect for your parents, go to them and ask them, what can you do to please them? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, the Word of God says, children, when is it that I stop being a child? When I reach what age? I'll always be a child, won't I? I'll always be a child of the Father. And as long as my mother lives, I'm a child to her. And he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this, listen carefully to the wording here, for this is what? This is well-pleasing unto the parents. Well, it pleases them, but who does the Bible say here it's well-pleasing to? It's well-pleasing unto the Lord. You see that? Now, when you have godly parents who are trying to give you advice and counsel and trying to lead you and trying to help you, you need to listen to what they say. Even if it's their grandchildren they're trying to help you with, they're concerned about their grandchildren. So he says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. If I dishonor my mother, listen carefully. If I dishonor my mother, I am not pleasing God. Does everybody follow that? Now, I'm not talking about something contrary to God's Word. I'm talking about as long as what she's telling me doesn't contradict God's Word, I better be doing what she tells me to do. By the way, I'm going to have to go see her this week or sometime in the next week or two. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Who do you want to be with you? Who do you want to be with you? More than anyone else, who do you need to be with you? You need God to be with you. When will the Father be with us? When we do all things that what? That please Him. Tell you what, I better do what pleases. I better please God so He'll stay with me. But in order to please God, I have to please my parents. Does everybody follow that? And don't you take and twist that and say something God's Word doesn't say. You just do what God's Word says. And you honor your parents. Let me just go to one other verse of Scripture in closing. Turn to Hebrews. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. The Word of God tells us something else here that pleases God. In Hebrews chapter 13, and again now, when we please the Father, what's the blessing that we get by pleasing the Father? He'll be with us. Hebrews chapter 13, listen to verses 15 and 16. We'll close right here. The Word of God says in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Word of God says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice. Now, we're talking about offering sacrifices. Do we still offer sacrifices in the New Testament? I know they offered sacrifices in the Old Testament, but do we offer sacrifices in the New Testament? All right, there are a lot of sacrifices that we're to offer in the New Testament. We don't offer the sacrifices, the same kind of sacrifices that they offered in the Old Testament. They offered the blood of bulls and goats and calves, and they offered dead sacrifices, but we're to offer living sacrifices. The Word of God says, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Now right here he's talking about a sacrifice. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Does that please the Father when the fruit of our lips are giving thanks to His name? That pleases the Father. Listen to verse 16. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. God's well pleased. Will God say to you like He did about His Son, well done. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. There are certain sacrifices that God is well pleased with. And I pray that God will help us to do the things that please the Father so that we can feel the Father with us every day in our lives. This is my prayer for Christ's sake.